Blog Talk Radio.
And at 12 o'clock, it's Talking Sports with Mike T. I'm your host, Mike Tramontosa, here with you for the next half hour as we go over lots of stuff in the world of sports. Obviously, the main part is going to be basketball and football because those are the two major sports that are going on right now. You would have hockey going on, but hockey's in a lockout. And what hockey has realized is that the longer their lockout goes, the less people actually care. So, let's start in the NBA where you had a bunch of games yesterday. You had eight games, some interesting games, some interesting moves by certain teams, some interesting games by certain players. Obviously, Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant both with triple-doubles, which is... Listen, the fact that Kobe Bryant has multiple triple-doubles in his career and one of the columns is assists is fantastic, is mind-blowing. But, hey, I guess Kobe does that every now and then to kind of quiet the people who say he doesn't want to pass the ball. And then, you know, when he doesn't go to pass the ball, he can always say, hey, look, I've got X amount of triple-doubles in my career. I obviously pass the ball. And then, you know, people have to be quiet, but everybody knows he doesn't like to pass the ball. But Kobe had 22-11-11 as the Lakers beat the Houston Rockets 119-108. Bernie Bickerstaff improves to 4-1 as coach after Mike Brown was 1-4 and got fired. Makes you wonder if Mike D'Antoni's really needed. And I'm going to go in depth into that because I'm one of the people. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's a mismatch. I don't think it's you know, the players, the systems, right? It's not going to fit. But let's go over some rest of the stuff in the league, and we'll go there. Oklahoma City, 10-point win over Golden State at home. They get a triple-double from Kevin Durant, the first of his career, 25-13-10. They get 30 points and 7 assists from Russell Westbrook and a ridiculous dunk in transition over Steph Curry that you'll see on all the highlights. Just absolutely ridiculous. Westbrook has come into this year with a renewed focus on distributing the basketball, and his assist numbers are up, as are the assist numbers of Durant. So the more these two play like this, you know, spreading the wealth, I think the better Oklahoma City gets, and I still think they're a top team in the Western Conference because when push comes to shove, I don't think anybody out West can really match the scoring output that Durant and Westbrook can give you. When you're getting 60 plus or, you know, 50 plus points from two guys, that really makes it easier on the rest of the team to then, you know, play their games because they know these guys are going to be there for over 20 a game. Portland improves to 5-5. They beat Chicago. And a pretty interesting moment last night at the end of this game where they were up 6 with 4 seconds left and they gave the ball to Damian Lillard, the fantastic rookie for Portland. And he went and he dunked the ball with a second left, and a lot of Bulls got upset about that. I don't, you know, it's not something you want to do, because that's a little bit of a rubbing in it. But I don't think he really meant anything by it. It wasn't like he did a windmill 360 or anything like that. He just went up and dunked the ball. Obviously, you know, the Bulls got a little upset by it. But also, you know, the Bulls in this game got literally nothing at all from Carlos Boozer. In 22 minutes, Carlos Boozer was 2 of 8 from the field, 4 points, 3 rebounds. That's it. And Sam Mitchell said it on NBA TV after the game that instead of getting mad at a rookie for dunking the ball, you should go in and be mad at your guy who's making the second most money on your team next to Derrick Rose in Carlos Boozer and get mad at him for this type of performance. And this is something that people have come to realize Carlos Boozer is. Carlos Boozer is not good anymore. Whatever good Carlos Boozer was, double doubles or whatever, it's not going to happen anymore. And he's making a lot of money for the Bulls to be, you know, the guy right now. If you think with Derrick Rose out, Carlos Boozer should be, you know, upping his game because his contract would dictate that he would up his game if Derrick Rose is out, but he's not. He's actually regressed. And, you know, there's some credence to what Sam Mitchell said, that if the Bulls are going to get mad at a rookie for quote-unquote showing them up, they should get mad at Carlos Boozer for stealing a paycheck last night. Interesting, in the Eastern Conference, the 1-9 Detroit Pistons beat the Celtics by 20 points in Detroit. They're now 2-9 and 1-3 at home, which means the Pistons are 1-6 on the road. They've already played 7 road games. And they blew out the Celtics by 20. Jared Sullinger had 16. Rondo got his 10 assists to keep his streak going. But this is a terrible game for the Celtics, sitting at 6-5. They're now 500 on the road. They didn't look inspired. They didn't look interested. And that's got to be upsetting if you're Doc Rivers, because they didn't look interested without Rondo against the Nets, and they made a comeback and probably could have won. They at least had a shot to win. But to go into Detroit, where the Pistons are 1-9 going into the game, and you don't even lose, you know, by 2 on like a last second shot or a close game, maybe an overtime game. You got blown out by 20 points. 20 points. The Pistons had one win. Arguably the worst team I've ever seen. They're just awful. And there's some other bad teams in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland's 2-8. I don't think they're bad. They're just really young, and they make dumb mistakes in the end of games that kind of cost them, including here against Philly. They had, you know, they had it down to 2 points in the fourth quarter, and then just couldn't get a stop at the end. Toronto and Orlando, two bad teams that are only probably going to get worse. Toronto actually beats Orlando because Jose Calderon had 18 assists and 2 turnovers, which is ridiculous. DeMar DeRozan had 20 points. Glenn Davis continued to play pretty decent. I think he had 16, and I know he led the team with 12 rebounds. Jameer Nelson had 9 assists. But let's get back to the Celtics, because they now are showing you that, A, in that game they showed you that when Rondo's not on the team, are playing, they're going to lose because they can't create offensively without Rajon Rondo. And it's become that problem to where it used to be ball movement and finding the open man. So now they can't run an offense. They have no backup point guard. Barbosa's not a point guard. He never will be a point guard. So when he's playing point, you have problems because he can't facilitate an offense. Same thing with Jason Terry. Outside of what Paul Pierce can do, there's not another guy on this team that can create his own shot consistently. Jeff Green can do it. Jeff Green just doesn't do it all the time. And then you look at two games they've got coming up this week. Two home games, by the way. Spurs and Thunder, who are combined 16-5. Those are two teams that cause matchup nightmares for Boston. Because I don't think Boston has the wings to stay with Ginobili, Parker, and Danny Green. They get a kind of a break with Kawhi Leonard not playing, still hurt. But you still have Duncan. Duncan and Garnett will probably cancel each other out at this point. But can the Celtics get any sort of rebounding edge? The Spurs don't really rebound well. But it'll be interesting to see if Rondo and Terry and Courtney Lee and Barbosa can stay with Parker and Ginobili and, you know, not sag down on them when they drive down the lane and to kick out for guys like Danny Green. So, I don't know how that works. And then we all know Boston can't match up with Oklahoma City because I think Westbrook will dominate Rondo. Durant is going to eat up the Boston defense and you know, Ibaka. And then you have Kevin Martin coming off the bench who's actually playing really well for Oklahoma City. Those are two really, really tough games for the Celtics, which makes this game against against Detroit so brutal, because they had just beaten Toronto, you know, by 20 the night before, which leads you into this next idea that maybe Boston just isn't really good in back-to-backs. You know, you look at their back-to-backs this year. They're 1-1. They lost to Philly on the 9th and beat Milwaukee on the 10th. Next back-to-back, they beat the Jazz, but then they lose to the Nets. And then this last one, they beat Toronto and lose to Detroit. So you're looking at it in this aspect of, well, they won one, lost one. Won one, lost one. Won one, lost one. You can't be 500 in back-to-back games, especially back-to-backs against bad teams. You have to win the back-to-backs against bad teams. Perfect example. Look at what the Knicks did against Indiana. They came in off a brutal road trip where they beat the Spurs, they beat Orlando, and then they lost to Memphis. And again, that was, I think, if the Knicks don't lose their, you know, in the third quarter, they probably win, or at least keep it close. So then you go and come home for an afternoon game against the Pacers, who are struggling in their own right. And they beat them by 12 in a really sloppy game. But in the NBA, a win's a win. And that was a game that probably a couple years ago, or pre-Mike Woodson, they probably lose. But they won. And now they're 7-1. They're 4-0 at home. But that's what good teams do. They win games that are crazy tough to win. You know, you're not feeling great. It's kind of sluggish. Maybe it's a fourth game in 5 nights. End of a road trip. But they find ways to win. And you look at teams like Brooklyn that go and start a road trip against a team that's, I'm not even sure if Sacramento is struggling, because I think struggling is too nice of a word. They're bad. They lost 6 in a row now. At least they didn't lose this one by double figures, which I did the previous 5. You did get 29 from DeMarcus Cousins, but every time Sacramento, you thought, was on some sort of roll, and they got it down to 2 twice in the second half. Each time the Nets came back and pushed it right back to 7-9-11, and that's something that you have to worry about when you have a young team, which Keith Smart does. They're not consistent, and I don't understand why Isaiah Thomas didn't play in the first half, because the Kings were a lot better in the third quarter and early in the fourth with Isaiah Thomas on the court. And for some reason, he didn't play in the first half. And then you're, you know, playing with, you know, Tyreek Evans at the point, which is now become something you don't want to do. You know, Evans had a pretty decent game. He didn't really dominate like you would think Tyreek Evans can do. And he can do any game. I did have 21, shot 8 of 14. You know, 21-7 is pretty good for him. But it was kind of a quiet 21, really. DeMarcus Cousins in the second half was just a man, 29-7. He did have 4 turnovers. He made some really dumb passes. But, you know, he went and decided to start Aaron Brooks, and he really contributed nothing. 4 points and 2 rebounds. Didn't even get an assist. Isaiah Thomas came in, had 4 assists in 14 minutes, and didn't have a turnover either. So that's really solid when you think about it. But the Nets did what you have to do against lowly teams on the road. They put themselves up big in the second quarter. They put them up 12 at the half, and you really what you do against them is then you just weather storms because teams are going to make runs, but bad teams end up shooting themselves in the foot. Like the Kings missed, I think, four straight threes in the fourth quarter that could have cut the lead or even tied the game. And when you do that, that's just a recipe for them to just fall apart. You got 14 and 10 from Darren Williams, five assists, five rebounds. Didn't shoot well, 4 of 12, 1 of 5 from 3. Another really bad game for Joe Johnson. You know, if he's not getting to the foul line, then he's doing nothing. 10 points and two rebounds for Joe Johnson. He shot 1 of 10 from the field, but he did go to the line 9 times and he hit 8 of them. But you look at his numbers, he's shooting 36% from the field, Joe Johnson. His career is a 44% shooter. So the problem, the worry you've had with this is that Joe Johnson wasn't going to play well. And right now, Joe Johnson is not playing well. He's actually being outplayed by Marshawn Brooks. And I don't know if the Nets win this game if Andre Blatch doesn't go 11 for 12 and score 22 points in 19 minutes. I mean, listen, we all know Andre Blatch is having a better year than what he had in Washington the last couple of years. But I also don't think Andre Blatch is a 22-point-a-game guy. I think he can give you something. But you look at how inconsistent he's been. Just look at the last couple games. In Orlando, 15 points in 24 minutes and 9 rebounds. Next night, 2 points and 7 rebounds. Then against Cleveland, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks. Next game, 7 points, 5